Right now, the exact way your fingers are twitching on your computer mouse like, right this second, could actually tell a tech company if you are going to develop a fatal nerve disease in 20 years. And the craziest part is you have absolutely no idea that they know.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like complete science fiction, but it is a present-day reality. We are looking at this this entire diagnostic landscape that is completely invisible to the human eye.
Right.
And it's just operating quietly in the background of your web browser.
Welcome to your custom-tailored deep dive.
Yeah.
Today, we are taking a stack of incredibly dense academic sources on artificial intelligence and ethics, and we are basically putting them through a high-stakes, real-world stress test just for you.
Exactly.
We are looking at a comprehensive analytical framework for how to navigate ethical dilemmas in tech, and we're applying it to a completely fascinating and honestly pretty chilling real-world case study about predictive AI and medical diagnosis.
So the goal today is to really understand how we actually attempt to align machine intelligence with human values. Because, you know, ethics and artificial intelligence is no longer this this abstract thought experiment confined to a university lecture hall.
No, not at all. It's happening right now.
Right. It is about making impossibly hard choices with massive, irreversible human consequences. We are dealing with systems that possess a kind of foresight that we just lack.
Yeah, they see things we literally can't see.
Exactly, which forces us into corners where every potential action seems to violate some core human principle.
Which is exactly why we need to dig into this today. Because if we don't understand the mechanics of how these dry-sounding philosophical texts dictate our digital infrastructure, I mean, we are essentially flying blind into the next decade.
We really are, and I think we should set the parameters of this discussion up front.
Okay.
The objective here is not to find a flawless automated calculator for ethics.
Right, there's no magic button.
No. There is no mathematical equation that will ever spit out the perfect moral answer to a human tragedy. The objective is to understand how to navigate moral uncertainty when the machine presents us with a reality we just aren't prepared for.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can even argue about what is right and what is wrong in the age of AI, our sources insist that we have to understand the actual mechanism of how a value gets into a machine in the first place. And they lay out this three-layer analytical framework for machine morality.
Right.
And it starts with what they call lived experience.
Right. So the lived experience layer is the messy, intuitive, distinctly human reality of an ethical value.
Oh.
Take a concept like safety, for example. You and I know what safety feels like. We know it in our gut.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an ambient understanding of our environment, you know, a physical integrity and the acceptable level of risk we take when we just cross a street or get into a car.
But an algorithm does not have a gut.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have an ambient understanding of anything at all.
Which necessitates the second layer, which is the technical definition. This is where that intuitive gut feeling of safety has to be formalized, quantified, and entirely encoded into an algorithm.
You're forcing it into a box.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You are forced to turn a deeply human feeling into rigid mathematics.
And this is where things seem to really go off the rails.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, to make sense of this, I was thinking about it like, okay, think about translating a beautiful emotional poem. That's your lived experience, right?
Okay, I like this.
So you take this poem and you translate it literally into binary code, zeros and ones.
Right, the technical definition.
Exactly. And then the third layer, what the sources call real-world functionality, that would be like having a robot read that binary code aloud at a poetry slam.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right, because it technically executed the code, but the entire human essence of the poem is just destroyed in the room. There's this massive tension between our human intuition and how the machine actually represents it.
And that breakdown in the third layer, the real-world functionality, is what happens when the technically defined value actually goes live in the chaotic, unpredictable physical world.
It hits reality.
Exactly. The machine executes its math, and human horror ensues because the math didn't capture the nuance of the lived experience.
So the entire game here is trying to close that gap.
Yes. The industry terms it value alignment.
Value alignment, okay.
It is the terrifyingly complex engineering task of ensuring that an AI's technical definition of a value is actually tethered to our lived human experience of it. But, you know, to even attempt value alignment, we have to know which values we are trying to align in the first place.
Right, which brings us to our philosophical toolkit. Because if we are going to look at AI predicting diseases, we have to recognize the conflicting rules we actually want the AI to follow. And just diving into the sources, it becomes so clear that we're essentially forcing these digital systems to choose between fundamentally incompatible schools of thought.
We really are. We're looking at a massive collision between a rules-based universe and an outcomes-based universe.
Okay, break that down for me.
So on one side, you have deontology. Right. This is the realm of philosophers like Immanuel Kant and John Locke. Deontology basically argues that there are strict moral rules you must follow regardless of the consequences.
Like the rules are the rules.
Exactly. For instance, Locke's concept of autonomy. That's your fundamental right to self-determination and freedom of choice, limited only when it interferes with someone else.
Okay.
Or Kant's concept of dignity, which is twofold. It strictly prohibits treating a human being merely as a means to an end, like an instrument or a commodity, and it demands accountability.
Meaning, you can't treat humans like babies. They deserve to take credit and blame for their actions.
Precisely. And under that deontological rules-based view, you also have privacy.
Yes. And the sources trace the modern understanding of privacy to Alan Weston's framework, which I found so crucial here.
It really is.
Because he defines privacy not as just keeping secrets, but as having control over access to your personal information.
Control is the definitive metric there. It is not about being hidden. It is about being the sole author of who gets to perceive you and under what conditions.
Which leads to a detail in the research that completely reframed how I think about this. Wait, I actually want to jump in here because under Weston's definition of privacy is control, Kim Kardashian is technically one of the most private people in the world.
I know. It initially sounds like a total paradox given her massive public exposure.
It really does. But when you look at the mechanic of her public image, we only know exactly what she allows us to know.
Right.
She exercises this ruthless, highly orchestrated, and frankly monetized control over precisely what the public is permitted to see. So the illusion of total access is actually the ultimate manifestation of privacy because she holds all the levers of control.
That's a really great way to put it.
When we talk about AI and privacy, we aren't talking about algorithms finding our locked diaries. We are talking about algorithms stripping our hands off those levers of control without us even noticing.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is how violently that demand for individual control clashes with the other major school of philosophical thought we ask AI to navigate.
Right.
Which is consequentialism or teleology.
This is Jeremy Bentham, right? The utilitarian.
Yes. Consequentialism argues that the ends absolutely justify the means. An action is ethically correct if it produces the greatest good or the greatest societal well-being for the greatest number of people.
The utilitarian approach.
Right. So if violating Kant's rule of human dignity or Weston's rule of privacy results in curing a disease that saves 10 million lives, a pure consequentialist framework demands that you commit the violation.
You just have to do it.
The math requires it.
And it gets even more complicated because we also demand that these systems operate fairly, right?
Mm.
Pulling from Aristotle's concept of treating equals equally and unequals proportionally unequally, while also demanding explainability, so we know who to blame when things go wrong, and general engineering safety and performance. We basically want the AI to be autonomous, private, utilitarian, and fair all at the exact same time.
Which is mathematically and philosophically impossible.
Completely impossible.
And we see this impossibility perfectly illustrated when we move out of the theory and plunge straight into the real-world functionality layer.
Yes, the case study.
Right, with the case study on emotion AI and predictive diagnostics.
Here's where it gets really interesting. We need to talk about exactly how a tech company can look at your computer mouse and diagnose you with a fatal disease.
It's wild.
Because it sounds like magic, but it's entirely mechanical.
It is. It is rooted in the sheer volume and granularity of behavioral data that a really simple input device captures.
Like just a standard computer mouse.
Exactly. When you operate a mouse or a laptop touchpad, you are generating thousands of data points every minute. We're talking about the micro hesitations before you click a link. The variance in your finger pressure measured in milliseconds. The specific microscopic tremor in the trajectory of the cursor as it moves from the search bar to the scroll wheel.
And to a human doctor, a spreadsheet of your mouse clicks is just a wall of static. Like if my hand shakes slightly because I had way too much coffee this morning, no human is going to notice a 3-millisecond delay in my double click.
No, of course not. But an AI thrives in that static.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate pattern recognition engine. It establishes a baseline of your specific digital motor skills over months or years.
Okay.
And then it filters out the noise of fatigue or caffeine to isolate the pure neurodegenerative signatures.
That is just staggering to think about.
By cross-referencing your micro tremors against the longitudinal data of millions of other users, the algorithm can detect the decaying state of your central nervous system.
Oh my God.
It identifies the onset of Parkinson's disease 10 to 20 years before you ever experience a single physical symptom that a doctor could actually diagnose.
I just want to sit with the reality of that mechanism for a second.
Yeah.
Because imagine you are just browsing the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking up a recipe for dinner, or you're shopping for running shoes. You are in a totally mundane, non-medical environment.
Right. You're at home on your couch.
Yeah. Yet, simply because you are interacting with a piece of plastic connected to a network, a tech company possesses this profound, devastating medical foresight about your future.
And it creates an unprecedented accountability gap.
Yeah. Who is responsible for that knowledge?
Exactly. The machine has generated a truth about a human life that the human does not know and frankly did not ask for. We have breached the lived experience of health and privacy through the technical definition of behavioral data tracking.
So let's put you, the listener, right into the center of this conflict. Let's take that philosophical toolkit we just talked about, deontology versus consequentialism, privacy versus societal well-being, and crash it right into this technology.
Okay, let's do it. Imagine you are an executive or an engineer at Google. You have access to this emotion AI data, and the algorithm flags a user's profile, and the math tells you with 99% confidence that this specific person, who is currently 25 years old, is going to develop severe Parkinson's disease by the time they are 45.
And the user feels perfectly healthy. They have not consented to a medical screening. They're literally just trying to buy shoes.
Right. So what is your ethical obligation? Do you tell them?
I mean, my immediate human instinct is to advocate for telling them. Action A.
Okay, why?
Because if we lean on John Locke and the principle of autonomy, I feel like you have a moral imperative to send that person an alert.
To give them the information.
Yes. You are holding information that drastically alters their timeline on Earth. Giving them that data allows them to exercise their self-determination.
Mm-hmm.
They can plan their finances differently. They can make different choices about having children, or they can enroll in early experimental treatments to maximize their healthy years. Withholding the truth feels like robbing them of their agency.
It does. But look at what happens when we apply Weston's privacy framework to that exact same action, action B.
Okay.
By telling them, you are validating a massive, unconsented medical surveillance apparatus.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The user never gave you permission to act as their neurologist. Under the ethics of privacy as control, the user has been violently stripped of their livers.
They had no say in it.
None. So a privacy advocate would argue that your moral imperative is to say absolutely nothing to the user and immediately destroy the data. The collection must stop because the violation of human dignity is too severe, regardless of the medical insight you just gained.
But to destroy the data feels like burning a map to a cure.
Exactly.
Which brings the utilitarian consequentialist argument roaring right back into the room. Action C.
Yep. If Bentham is guiding the AI, the algorithm does not care about the individual's right to privacy or their personal trauma in finding out.
Right.
A consequentialist would demand that you not only tell the user, but that you make this predictive data public to healthcare.
Because of the greater good.
Exactly. If we can accurately predict a massive wave of neurodegenerative disease 2 decades before it hits, society as a whole needs to plan for the macroeconomic impact.
We need to allocate hospital resources, adjust insurance premiums, redirect pharmaceutical research funding, all of it.
The utilitarian math dictates that violating one person's privacy, or even a billion people's privacy, is entirely justified if the societal benefit prepares humanity for a major healthcare crisis.
But wait, I have to push back heavily on the premise of this perfect predictive math here.
Okay, go ahead.
Because we cannot ignore fairness and algorithmic bias in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
What if the AI's technical definition of a Parkinson's tremor is fundamentally flawed just because of how it was trained?
Ah, yes. The training data is always the Achilles heel of the technical definition.
Exactly. So how does that bias manifest here? Let's say the engineers trained this emotion AI primarily on the mouse movements of, I don't know, competitive video game players.
Okay.
Who are overwhelmingly young men with specific hyperfast reflex patterns.
Right, so the baseline is already skewed.
Highly skewed. What if these disease predictions are extremely accurate for young, affluent men, but they're wildly inaccurate for older black women,
mm-hmm.
or people who use different types of track pads, or people whose jobs require heavy manual labor that naturally alters their hand mechanics?
If the baseline is skewed, the prediction becomes a weapon.
Exactly. The psychological trauma of a false positive in predictive healthcare is unimaginable. You are telling someone they are going to develop a fatal, untreatable disease in 20 years, forcing them to alter their entire life trajectory, and the machine is just wrong.
Yeah.
If that error rate is spread unequally across society, acting on this data becomes ethically indefensible. Alerting the user wouldn't just be an infringement on privacy. It would be the active distribution of harm under the guise of medical foresight.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, you can see why we stated at the very beginning that there are no automated calculators in ethics.
Right.
Every single decision you make as an engineer is vulnerable to a devastating philosophical objection.
Yeah, you're trapped.
Doing the right thing under a rules-based framework, you know, respecting the user's privacy and deleting their biometric data, might cause a disaster under an outcomes-based framework because you have systematically destroyed the exact data set that could have cured the disease for future generations.
You are paralyzed by the principles. Alerting the user respects their autonomy, but if the system suffers from algorithmic bias, it violently violates fairness.
Mm-hmm.
We are asking engineers to write code that perfectly balances human dignity with global utility, which is a puzzle that philosophers haven't solved in 3,000 years of debating it.
And we are asking them to do it in binary.
Right.
We are asking them to translate the vast, contradictory expanse of human morality into ones and zeros.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, navigating the internet today? We've covered massive ground here.
We really have.
We started with the theoretical layers of how human intuition gets flattened into a technical definition, using that analogy of the robot reading the poem. And we brought that framework all the way down to the hyper-specific, genuinely terrifying reality of how the micro-hesitations of your computer mouse are currently diagnosing your future.
It means that being truly well-informed about the future of artificial intelligence requires abandoning the illusion of perfect solutions.
Yeah.
Being informed means accepting permanent moral uncertainty. We cannot just demand that tech companies code goodness into a machine. We first have to endure the agonizing process of deciding whose version of good we are going to enforce.
Are we using Kant's goodness? Are we using Bentham's? Because they are mutually exclusive and the algorithm cannot serve two masters.
Exactly.
As these predictive systems weave themselves deeper into the fabric of our daily lives, from our laptops to our phones to our cars, these invisible ethical collisions are only going to become more extreme.
They absolutely will.
We inherently want technology to provide clarity. We want it to be an X-ray that makes the world perfectly legible, that cures every ailment, and optimizes every inefficiency. But that absolute clarity requires absolute visibility. And that visibility comes at an unfathomable cost.
This raises an important question for you to consider, something to mull over on your own after this deep dive ends.
Okay.
Take the emotion AI tracking your mouse and scale it up to its absolute logical conclusion.
Right.
Imagine an AI system that could act as the ultimate omniscient X-ray for humanity. It could perfectly eradicate all future disease and suffering. It has the computational power to map every single biological outcome, cure every cancer, and save millions of lives with zero algorithmic bias.
Sounds like a utopia.
It does. But the absolute non-negotiable cost to power that system is that human privacy ceases to exist forever.
Wow.
Every thought you have, every biometric pulse, every subtle twitch of your hand, every private conversation is public domain, constantly fed into the machine to maintain the perfect societal health.
So it's the ultimate utilitarian outcome, purchased with the ultimate deontological violation.
Exactly. If you had the power to flip that switch right now, would you choose a world of absolute perfect health or a world where you still have a private self?
Thank you for joining us on this custom deep dive. Keep questioning the algorithms that are quietly watching you from your desk. We'll leave you to think about that one.